At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
A warmer Bubby Low. Welcome to Bubby Las Vegas for Jessica Soups with myself, Greg Eames Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. And we've got an absolutely tremendous podcast for you. We're going to be keeping this one to two parts. We're going to be joined in segment number two by Tristan Freeman. He does great work over at Boston Brackets. We have to get his thoughts on what we've all seen this week in college basketball, the NBA draft decisions, which teams were able to be winners, which teams were losers, and which teams were a little bit in the middle. I'm also going to pose to him the question, is the Big Ten perhaps going to be a little bit more top-heavy this year? We've seen some nice moves from Illinois. Purdue being able to get back Zach Edey is big. Michigan State, they're a bunch that they had the NBA draft decisions go their way as well. So we have to dive in with that with him in segment number two. So we're going to be having a great chat with him. And we've got in segment number one some news that we saw on the transfer front. So we're going to be rounding all that up in a second. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @unit_d1. Keep in mind, letter CM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. We're also going to give you guys this little bit of a tidbit as well. Now that we do have these NBA draft decisions all done and taken care of, expect more conference previews coming at a bit more of a rapid pace. Already did the Atlantic Sun on this podcast, but have yet to really dive in too much with regards to conference previews, and we're going to be doing more and more of that now that we've got some answers. And much like I've done on the podcast in past seasons, this is going to be a case where we're going to go with the low/mid-majors first. So I'm thinking the Big Sky is going to be next. I do have to do the America East at some point. That might be a little bit tough because we're looking for a guest right now on that front, but at some point I'm going to be doing the America East as well, so be on the lookout there. But once we do the low/mid-majors, we're going to be diving into those power conferences, and then once we do those, we're going to be all set for the upcoming college basketball season. So we've got a big bundle of fun coming there, and let's take a look at what we all got in college basketball over the last 24 hours, as we really didn't see too many major moves. We're going to be seeing where the likes of Grant Nelson and company are going to be going in future days, but Yurin Hasan, he was playing for UConn this last season. He was an international gentleman that was a part of their national title team. Wasn't necessarily super duper highly ranked or anything like that, but 6'9", little bit of a combo guy that's able to pop some threes. He has decided that he is going to be going to Southern Indiana, so you feel good for Southern Indiana. This is a nice little pickup for them. They lost a few pieces in the offseason, so I think that that is going to be of significance. When it comes to these guys that they go down to the non-D1 level, your work is very easy. All you need to do is note that, all right, player X, like in this case, Jalen Fairman, who was playing at Bellarmine, they were at the D1 level last season. They are no longer at the D1 level. Cross them off your list of guys that you need to evaluate and move on. But for Fairman, he's decided that he's going to be going down to John A. Logan College, which has produced actually quite a bit of talent. I know that Jay Scrubb was there a few seasons ago. He was able to do a solid job. I believe that Sean East was playing for John A. Logan a few seasons ago as well, one of the powerhouses when it comes to junior college basketball. But that said, we are not going to be seeing Fairman out there in the fold this upcoming season at the D1 ranks. We are going to be seeing Ashton Smith, though. And for Smith, his last few seasons have been cut relatively short. He was able to put up 5.5 points, 2.5 assists per contest for Chattanooga, but he only saw 2 games, and he was just battling through injuries all season long last year. He has decided that he is going to be going to Austin Peay, and for Austin Peay, you got pretty much all the top flight scores from Northwestern coming in. So I do think that this is going to be a nice little depth piece for them. So the rich just continue to get richer. And then we did see Noah Stansberry. And this should make sense because his father, Rick Stansberry, is no longer the coach. He has decided that he is going to be hitting the transfer portal now with Noah Stansberry. It was a case of the coach's son being pretty much the worst guy in the roster. He did not score any points this last season, but something that you do want to note because this is big for just roster construction, what have you. And then we did see Rashad Bolden, who a few seasons ago at Southern Miss, he missed all of last season due to injury, but two seasons ago at Southern Miss was actually a starter for them. He was able to put up right around 7 points per contest. He had previously committed to McNeese State, which that would have been the rich getting richer for McNeese State, as they've been able to do a great job in the transfer portal this offseason. He was a Conference USA all-freshman. He has decided that he is going to be going down to the non-D1 level. He is going to be playing for Mississippi College this season. And Mississippi College, they go up against the likes of the Lee Flames, Valdosta, a D2 power when it comes a little bit more to football, what have you. So not too much in terms of the player movement front in college basketball on Friday. I think that we're going to be seeing a lot more for this upcoming week because we've got a lot of teams that they're trying to decide how are we going to attack things now that we either got back our guys that were in the NBA draft or we lost a few guys to the NBA draft. So I do think that we're going to be seeing a lot of movement for this upcoming week. And we got to talk about it all with our good friend Tristan Freeman. He does amazing work over at Bus and Brackets. We've got to go through some of the winners and losers of college basketball from the past week. And are we perhaps going to see a little bit of a shift with regards to the Big Ten? That is up next right here on Just Go Seats with myself, Greg E. Peterson, now a part of the Houston Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep experts. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
Welcome back to Las Vegas with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Visa Family Podcast, and it is great to be joined by this man as Tristan Freeman does absolutely amazing work over at Bustin' Brackets, taking a look at this game of college basketball that we all know and love. I know that Tristan is out there in more of the Pittsburgh area, so he does a great job taking a look at the Pitt Panthers, the Duquesne Dukes, and so much more in that area. And to be able to follow Tristan on Twitter, that is at Hoopsnut351 altogether. And Tristan, it is great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for having me, Greg.
Thank you for joining me, Tristan. And there is no question about it. We saw a lot of winners and losers the last few days in college basketball with regards to these NBA draft decisions. Was there anything to you that was truly startling? Because I think the biggest thing for me with all the NBA draft decisions is that there was nothing that really left me going, oh my goodness, I had no idea that that was going to be happening or anything like that. No doubt Oscar Tshiebwe was someone that was a little bit on the borderline, so that was rough for Kentucky. But I don't feel like there was necessarily anything that truly came out of left field over the last few days.
Not really. I think the Oscar Tshiebwe move was viewed as 50-50. And sometimes with guys who wait towards the very end, you almost feel like they're going to come back, because if not, the team is effectively screwed without them. So that was one. I think as someone who pays attention to a lot of online rumors, I think Kobe Brown's decision was fairly interesting, because had he came back, there was a decent chance he could have hit the portal. And he's from Alabama, a team that has literally no front court right now. So that's the move to where technically Alabama didn't lose by that. But now that leaves them with one fewer option to sort of replace the front court after Charles Bayako's fairly surprising decision to stay.
Yeah, it has been interesting to take a look at Alabama being able to get Mark Sears back to fold. That is big. And I thought that it was rather 50-50 as to whether or not Adam Flagler was going to be remaining in the NBA draft. He decided that he was going to, but after they lose Adam Flagler, Baylor was able to pick up Ray J. Dennis, and I feel like this was just such an interesting team over the last 72 or so hours, because I feel Ray J. Dennis has a little bit of a downgrade to Adam Flagler, just because playing in the MAC, that's just not the same as playing in the Big 12, but I feel like Baylor is one of those teams that they probably had some sort of an idea that Flagler wasn't coming back, and I thought that they did a good job of having a little bit of a contingency plan in place, unlike some of these teams that maybe did not retain the guys that they were hoping for and are currently scrambling as we do this podcast.
The Ray J. Dennis recruitment lasted over a month, and for the longest time, it felt as if Illinois was going to be the favorite, because they've still been looking for a point guard. And instead, it ended up being Baylor, a team who really didn't have a veteran ball handler on the offense right now. It could have been Miro Little, who's a four-star incoming freshman. But I think, especially in the COVID era where there's so many older veterans, teams don't really want to have freshmen lead the point guard position. So for Baylor, they go from a team with fairly decent amount of question marks to one with a little more stability. But as you said, we don't know how good Dennis is going to be at the Big 12 level. MAC transfers have been hit or miss moving up in the past few years. I think there's a good chance that Baylor will go as Ray J. Dennis goes next year.
Yep, I think that he is going to be so key for a Baylor team that I do think that they're going to have a little bit of a tougher time in the Big 12 this season. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Tristan Freeman. He does amazing work over at Bustin' Brackets, just because it's not that Baylor has a bad team or anything like that. The Big 12, in my opinion, is just completely locked and loaded once again. I don't know if Kansas State is going to be able to duplicate the success that they had last season, but I do like the fact that they are going to be replacing Marquise Noel with Tyler Perry. Once again, I don't think that that's an apples-to-apples comparison. I think there's going to be a little bit of a downgrade, but bringing in someone like Perry, I thought that was big for them. Houston is one of the best teams in all of college basketball. I think that they're going to be towards the top. We all know what Kansas has been able to do here in the offseason, but I do think that for Baylor, it is going to be interesting to see where they fall in the Big 12, especially with TCU making some moves themselves. And I've been impressed with the way that
they've been able to cobble up some pieces here late in the portal.
TCU went 1-2 in the final day of the deadline. They lose Damian Ball, but I think they expected that since they brought in Avery Anderson from Oklahoma State. And then Jameer Nelson's a 20-point-per-game scorer from Delaware, and he's someone that can definitely score points. They're on a good team. The Big 12 overall is going to be very interesting because, obviously, Kansas, with their dominant offseason, leads the headlines. But just about all of them did fairly well. You can't look at one team and say that they've really struggled, although Oklahoma State lost a lot. And it'll be interesting to see how they rebound because they're a team that's reportedly still out there looking in the portal for a couple more options.
I do agree with you, and I do think that looking at them is going to be interesting, and I know that we were talking about Ray J. Dennis a minute ago, and you alluded to it. Illinois was one of those teams that was in on him, and though they lose Ray J. Dennis, all in all, I feel like things did break the way of Illinois the last few days. They bring back T.J. Shannon, they bring back Coleman Hawkins, and they bring in Jeremiah Williams. Now, Jeremiah Williams, a little bit of a roll of the dice because he just did not see the floor last season, last played at Temple a few seasons ago. But I do think for Illinois, among some of the winners and losers of the last few days, it's hard to take a look at this Illinois team and say anything other than, yeah, it's been a relatively good last few days with them with all their draft decisions going their way.
Well, I mean, if you want to compare them to another team that had a lot of key options waiting on the last day like Kentucky, it went as good as it possibly could for Illinois. And I think there was a chance that it was either going to be either or with Terrence Shannon and Ray J. Dennis. Maybe Dennis just didn't want to play there because he knew that Shannon was going to be the undisputed lead guard, whereas Baylor, he can be that role. So I think all things considered, you got the front court set now with Hawkins coming back. You do have a lot of guards and there's a lot of veteran options out there on the wings. The question is going to be, is Williams one? Is he going to be eligible? He either have to graduate or sort of get a waiver because he is technically a two-time transfer despite not playing last year. And we would have to see if the former Temple guard is both healthy and good enough to play at the Big Ten level. Because I think one of the mistakes that we all make as analysts is just naturally assuming that all of these transfers are going to be solid at the next spot. I mean, the vast majority of them do what they did at the previous stop, or a number of them actually struggle. So the ones that struggle, their respective teams are going to have automatically a much lower floor compared to the few that ends up getting breakout stars from the port.
And I am so glad that you bring that up because I do think that chemistry is so important because we're all talking about these transfer moves. We are looking at these NBA draft decisions and I do think that they're a big part of everything because not only do they bring back a good piece for a team, but it also maintains chemistry as well. But I do think that chemistry is so big, which is why I do think that some of the love that Purdue has gotten in the last few days is warranted because Purdue, they haven't done much in the transfer portal or anything like that, but Purdue has done a good job of being able to hold over all the guys that they had from last season. And something else that we do in the media is, you know this all too well, Tristan, coming into the year, if a team made a big run in the NCAA tournament, they get upgraded probably a little bit more than they should have based on how they performed throughout the entirety of the previous year. Meanwhile, if a team bows out a little bit early, like Kentucky a few years ago, like Purdue did this past year, we're a little bit lower on them than we probably should be. And I do think that with Purdue, this team has a good chance of being able to duplicate the success that they did have from last season and wash off, for lack of a better term, the stain that they suffered in that loss against Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yeah, and, you know, Purdue brings back everyone and basically replaces Brandon Newman with Lance Jones, a Southern Illinois. So, arguably, the roster got better. And if we're going to give Duke the benefit of the doubt that their freshman's going to come back and have big sophomore years, we have to do the same thing with Purdue's guards, Brayden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer. I mean, they already overachieved as freshmen, assuming that they become more consistent as shooters. Having Zach Edey, who is unstoppable one-on-one, I mean, why wouldn't they beat it? If Purdue went to the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight at least last year, I don't think there's even a question they're the number one team. But I think people look at Duke and Kansas's ceiling as if they're higher. But I would argue that the safest bet is going to be a team that was number one most of last season and basically brings it all back.
Yeah, I do think that with Purdue, it's going to be really interesting to see how they fare in a Big Ten that not a lot of teams have gotten a whole heck of a lot better. As Tristan Freeman, who does great work over at Boston Brackets, is joining me on the podcast. And I do think that the Big Ten does have a little bit of a fear of being a little bit more top heavy, because one of the hallmarks of the Big Ten in recent years has been the fact that it is a conference with a lot of depth. But I take a look at Michigan State getting back darn near all their guys and Jaden Akins, Bully Cullen company, and that's big for them. We just mentioned Purdue and Illinois and all the additions that they get. But I take a look at the rest of the Big Ten, and it feels like the rest of the conference is really lagging behind. And I think for the first time in quite a while, we might have a relatively big divide between the haves and the have-nots in this conference.
Yeah, I think three teams that have a chance to get into the mix of the top tier, Ohio State, who I think in a weird way is a plus that they don't have Rice Sensabaugh anymore. They still have a very good roster and their own quality young core. Wisconsin brings back everyone and adds A.J. Storr, who's a very interesting freshman transfer from St. John's. And then Maryland has probably the best trio of players outside of maybe Purdue in the Big Ten. The question with them is whether or not the role players are going to be good enough to keep them afloat. But I think the Big Ten has six potential ranked teams, not even including Indiana and Illinois, who I think both teams could argue that they have high ceilings. There's definitely going to be a divide between teams that are likely going to be in the top 10 most of the season, Purdue and Michigan State. But don't be surprised if there is still a good amount of teams that ends up being ranked throughout next year.
I do think that with the Big Ten, it is always interesting to take a look at this conference. And I do think that it is going to be a very fascinating one in general. And Tristan, I know that we've hit on some of the marquee teams that have been big time winners and losers over the last few days. Has there been a team or two that we have yet to really touch upon that you felt like were big beneficiaries, or a team or two that you felt like really got hurt the last few days in terms of all these NBA draft decisions?
I think on the positive end, you have to like, I'll say, a team like Auburn, because they bring back Jani Broom, and it wasn't a guarantee because he was one of the top players in the NBA G League Combine. They basically bring back their entire front court, including a couple of guys for extra years. So them being set, I'll say, keeps them in contention, possibly being ranked next year as well. And then look at a team that struggled. I think UCLA officially only bringing back one starter. That's going to hurt them because they don't have five-star prospects coming in to replace Amari Bailey or Jalen Clark. And they're going to have to rely on international guys. And those are a risk because, you know, you look at a team like Gonzaga, they've had guys like Domantas Sabonis and Rui Hachimura, but they've also had guys who flamed out former top 60 prospects as well and had to transfer. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Bruins, but they're a team that may have one of the more larger variances of how good or how bad they can be next year. You probably would hope that you could bring back Bailey because he would have been an All-American candidate, considering how well he played once Clark went down. But now that he's staying pro, it's going to be tough for them to replace that.
Yeah, with Bailey staying pro, I do think that that is going to be relatively rough for them. And I do think that it is a team of intrigue out west. So that is certainly a team that I do have my eye on. And a guy that was playing more towards the West Coast as well that decided to pull his name out of the NBA draft and go into the transfer portal is Grant Nelson. He and Arthur Kaluma now become some of the biggest prizes out there in the transfer portal. How do you think these guys are going to be viewed in terms of just teams in general that are going to be going after them? Because I have to think that some of these teams that lost out, maybe who you were mentioning before, UCLA, certainly a Kentucky with the way that they lost out on Oscar Tshiebwe, I have to think that these are going to be prime teams that are going to be trying to add one of these big pieces in the transfer portal, because all of a sudden I feel like there's a little bit of that second wave in the portal with those guys that pulled out of the NBA draft and went into the transfer portal.
Alabama and Kentucky are the two top teams. They have top 10 potential, but they also could end up being unranked depending on what happens. I mean, Alabama reportedly is setting up visits with both Kaluma and Grant Nelson. You get them and you're back in business. And then meanwhile, Kentucky, they're battling Memphis for Davy Jones, the St. John's transfer, who will still have to either graduate or get a waiver to even play. And then you have other guys, you know, Cam Spencer down to four teams. Maybe he replaces Isaiah Wong at Miami or goes to UConn. There's still several players that can have a big impact on who's going to be good or not, but those two SEC teams that I mentioned, all eyes should be on them. They both got a lot of work to do. And there's a chance, we've seen a report early on Friday, that Antonio Reeves could be entering the portal. So if that happens, then the Wildcats are in some serious trouble.
I think our good friend in Kevin Sweeney tweeted out that if they would not bring back Antonio Reeves, they would be down to, I think, like 92 returning points in their entire career for Kentucky returners. I recognize that they've got a really good recruiting class coming in, but man, that would be rough for Kentucky to say the least. So lots of intrigue there. And Tristan, I know that you're doing an absolutely amazing job of taking a look at everything that we're getting in college basketball right now. I've alluded to it a few times. I feel like now we're getting that second wave with regards to transfer portal, and I know that you're going to do a great job of taking a look at that and so much more. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me at HoopsNut351. You can also follow at Bustin' Brackets for the latest news and all college basketball, daily articles and takes. And we're going to be looking closer towards the NBA draft, the final look at some of the top college players as they enter the pros, and then seeing what's happening with the last few transfers remaining.
And Tristan is doing an absolutely amazing job on this front, and every single time he joins this podcast, lends tremendous insight. So a big thanks to Tristan Freeman of Bustin' Brackets for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Heaps, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at GNet_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. As I mentioned at the top, conference previews, they are coming, and they are coming soon. I should have the Big Sky conference preview up within the next 48 hours. Goal is for tomorrow. Might be a day or two later than that, but still, we are going to have more conference previews coming on this podcast, as now we've got these NBA draft decisions in the bag, so we know what is happening there, and we're going to be with you guys every single day on this podcast, regular season, off season, rain or shine, I will be here, so I'll chat at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyer's.com today.